Interesting, before we start, I was reflecting on how many people have spent time over the last hours, days, and even longer than that, trying to help get ready for tonight. You notice the decorations that are all around, the music ministry, our altar servers who spent hours preparing, so many other volunteers who stepped forward, our lectors, the office staff, and others have gone above and beyond just trying to make tonight and the next few days be something that we can all not just like go through every year like we do, go through another year like we do every year, but try to get into it. I want to say that what we do tonight, the responsorial psalm, which again was actually St. Paul, not the Psalms of David, he says our blessed cup is a participation, a communion with the blood of Christ. And I bear with me, but I think we don't just, these decorations and everything else that we do through the liturgy, we could say, well, we're not there physically and historically because I wasn't at the Last Supper. I wasn't at the foot of the cross tomorrow on Good Friday. I wasn't there and it didn't touch me historically. We might try to say, but at least through the symbols and the decorations, I can be there symbolically. I would actually say no. Through the sacraments, through the communion, Holy Communion, you're actually there sacramentally, really and truly. God makes those events present to you and to me now so that you are there, so that you actually do touch and experience it for yourself, because it was done not just for the 12 apostles. It was done for you and for me. And it really is, what we do tonight really is a communing with, a real participation in all that our Lord was doing, especially throughout his whole life, but especially this holy triduum, this holy 3 days that are one day, that are one event. So we'll go into it, but I just invite you to take on that attitude. If you get nothing else out of tonight, get out of it that you're actually there, or Jesus is actually here for you. What happens tonight is for you. What other people symbolically, sacramentally do, they stand in your place, but it's your place. Own it. Believe in it. Don't doubt it. Don't deflect it. Oh, he did it for everybody. Tonight it's for you. May it be so. May it really be a communion with what our Lord does for us. Effective, efficacious, sacramental communion. The gospel tells us that at this supper, on this night, our Lord knew that his hour had finally come. So many times in the gospels it said, my hour has not yet come. He walked through their midst, so they were trying to kill him because it was not yet his time yet. His hour had not yet come. He told his mother at the wedding at Cana, my hour has not yet come. Well, tonight, he knew his hour had come. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the extreme, to the end, to the utmost. His time was running out. He knows that he's leaving them. He's leaving. And he's leaving them in charge. We know that, yes, well, Father, he's going to rise from the dead in 3 days. Well, first of all, they don't know that. And second of all, 40 days later, he really is ascending into heaven and leaving all of his mission and ministry, the entire salvation of the world, in the hands of these guys. He's got just minutes left. And so far as it's a few hours, right? He'll be arrested later tonight. He knows that. He's tried hard to get their attention. They still arguments themselves. I think we skipped over it in the reading, but even tonight they're arguing over who's going to sit where, because the best person sits closest or wherever. So make sure that I get that place and you get that place. They're still not getting it. And our Lord sees, wait, they're not getting it. They need to get this. Think about this for a moment. These are 12 men. As far as we know, Judas was still with them in this moment of the Last Supper. So there's 12 men. They're not all the same. They're not all fishermen. Some are fishermen. But they don't all belong to the clique or the group of fishermen. At least one's a tax collector. At least one is a sort of a zealot soldier. Some are good at accounting, some are not. Some are educated, some are not. Some are popular, some are not. Some are faithful, some are not so faithful. Some are holy, some are not so holy. They're very different. band of brothers that he's artificially or somehow divinely gathered from the scattered groups of the world. A lot hangs on them. He is aware of everything that is about to go down, and he wants to show them what is most heavy, what is most important on his heart. They may not yet understand all of his teachings. The Holy Spirit will take care of that later. They may not understand the parable of the sower, even though I explained it to them in detail. They may not yet understand the parable of the weeds and the wheat and the problem of evil in the Holy Church. How does that work? They may not understand that yet, but he was trying to explain it, and the Holy Spirit will take care of it later. They may not understand his teachings on marriage and divorce and how sin begins in the heart before, whether or not it realizes itself on the outside, is already sinful in the heart. They might not get all of that. Not yet. But they need to get this. And with just hours left, minutes left, it says, he got up from table, took off his outer garments, and knelt down before each one, washing the dirt and grime from their very dirty and grimy sandaled feet. If you think about it, we have tennis shoes and socks, and I don't know about you guys, but my feet are not that bad because I shower every now and then. I try to. Theirs, come on. Those are some dirty feet. And our Lord did this humble, overwhelming, tender, loving gesture. I was thinking about like what his eyes looked like when he looked at each one as he knelt down to them. But think with me, we've said this before, but this is Jesus. Yes, sort of known as the son of Joseph, but his mother knew, and his apostles were beginning to realize, this is the second person of the Trinity. This is the Son of God. And he comes up to Gary, his apostle, and God kneels before the apostle. God kneels down before you and before me. The creator of all the universe strips himself of his outer garments. But actually, he'd already stripped himself of all his divinity. And he kneels down before their broken humanity. How does God feel about you, sinful loser? Not that way, because he kneels down to you. Not saying that you're a God greater than him, but saying that you are loved very much by a father who kneels down as if tying the shoes of his little son. He kneels down, strips himself. St. Paul would understand this later and write, though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be coveted for himself, but rather he emptied himself, stripped himself of his divinity. He humbled himself, taking the form of a human being, taking the form of a servant, of a slave. He humbled himself because they needed to get this. They needed to understand this. St. Paul would also understand later and write, though he was rich, and nobody's richer than God, though he was rich, he became poor to enrich us through his poverty. This, more than anything else he ever did, overwhelmed them. You hear it in Simon Peter. Lord, like, no, you will never wash. No, not this. He overwhelmed them with this. In this light, they would come to understand the entire mystery of God becoming man in Bethlehem. Because he was stripping himself. He was lowering himself. He'd always been lowering himself to come to our lowliness. In this light, they grasped his form, the fact that he would grow up not as a king in some palace in Rome, but as a lowly carpenter's son, barely breaking even in Nazareth, so that every lowly person would never feel like they were too low for God. In this light, they received his dying for them. Because he was washing them, not in water, as if he was worried about dirt on their feet. They would be washed in his blood from their sin. They would be nourished not on bread, but on his very body given up for them. He was transforming them little by little, not by force or coercion, but by close intimacy and holy communion, almost mouth to mouth, heart to heart, when they received him. That communion with his life and his spirit. In this light, that image of the Rabbi of God, the Son of God, kneeling and washing their feet, in that light, they fulfilled his sending them out. As the Father has sent me, so I now send you. As I have done for you, as I have loved you, now you must go to the whole world and love one another. Not as you feel like it, not up to your some new standard that may evolve in the next 200 years, some watered down version of my love. No, as I have loved you, I want you overwhelmed by this because I don't want you to forget it. So you must love one another. And these 12, well, 11, because he lost one after that, diverse men from diverse lifestyles, diverse cliques, diverse classes and sectors of society would freely give as they had freely received. They never did it for pay. And especially the first 300 years, the only pay they got was martyrdom. They were so overwhelmingly moved by what he had done for them. Throughout his life, at the Last Supper, in his dying, rising, and sending them forth, they were overwhelmed by the way he had done it, and they would imitate that way of love, of humble, self-effacing love. Kneeling down before every sector of society. They would kneel down to the poor. They would kneel down to the wealthy. They would kneel down to the guy of their race, the Jewish. They would even come to the pagan centurion's house, Cornelius. Wait, Peter, you went and ate with a Gentile? Because that's what the Creator had done for them. No one would be too low for them. And nothing would be too low for them to stoop out of love. Not out of rule following. It was the love of Christ for them that moved them to do the unthinkable, to love beyond all limits. And they would bridge every grouping, every clique, every class of society that they encountered. They would overwhelm so many divisions, reconciling enemies to one another with the love of Christ, only equipped with the love of Christ and the power of the Spirit of Christ's life at work in them. That's all they had. And little by little, that little tiny group from Palestine, so attractive it was to a world with much wealth and much division and much individualism and much comfort and luxury, was like, well, that we have, it's not filling us, but whatever they have, that's what we want. And little by little, it spread throughout the entire world. We're invited tonight, again, not symbolically, sacramentally, truly, really, put yourself in the place of the 12 apostles. We're going to have, in just a moment, as soon as I finish, we're going to have 12 volunteers come forward and have their feet washed. They're not looking forward to it. It's kind of embarrassing, I think, to stand in front of everybody and let somebody wash your feet. We're going to receive what our Lord inaugurated at the Last Supper for the first time. This is my body given up for you. Do this and remember. Remember, don't ever forget. Don't ever not be moved. Don't ever let it become cold in your heart. Do this and remember me. It is not just a symbolic participation. It is a real touching of my body and blood poured out for you. Remember and let it move you again. We can ask our Blessed Mother, of all people, what she would hear about this night, and especially what she would see in person tomorrow. would touch her in a way it would never touch anyone else. She was his mom. That was her son. Yes, second person of the Trinity, but her little boy. And she would feel it like no one else would ever feel it. It would mean to her what perhaps it could never mean to anyone else. We ask her to take us by the hand for these next 3 days. May she not let go of us in these next 3 days. May we not let go of her, asking her, Mother, help me to see. Help me to feel what you felt. A little bit of what you feel tonight. Because it's not done for the world in the abstract. It's done for me. It's done for Nelwyn tonight. It's done for Gary tonight. It's done for Stevie tonight. It's done for Janet. It's done for me tonight, tomorrow, and the next day. And when you participate our blessed cup, when you drink that cup, it truly is a communion with these 3 days of Jesus Christ. His death, suffering, death, and resurrection. The Triduum, the Holy Triduum. May it really be holy for each one of us tonight. May it really be touching holiness itself tonight. Not symbolically, really, truly, and life-transformingly. Amen? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us. And our altar servers are going